Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Oh, I'm full of Bertram Muesli.
Oh, why is it Bertram? Is that, that's the name,
it
isn't it?
It's just kind of yogurt.
I'd love to be a member of the Bertram family. That's all I'll say. I bought you a drink. I walked to the studio from my house today.
Yes, hello.
And I went past the little Japanese stroke Chinese stroke Korean supermarket.
Oh, on Holloway Road.
Yes.
Lovely. It feels like a
pouch,
a breast. It feels like a breast.
A breast implant.
It feels like a breast implant.
It does.
Before they put it into the body.
It's a little fruit flavoured drink. I bought this because I like the fact that it boasts on the front 10%, and I presume that says 10% grape. yeah. So it's 90% not grape.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's Chinese, isn't it? Yeah. There's not a lick of Japanese
don't,
in there.
You don't see a lot of Chinese food. Yeah.
I think because they are very poor standards. Like a lot of like the booze you buy out there, beers and stuff, yeah, are just copied beers.
Got you.
If you buy like an Asahi in
this shop is a bit of a weird shop. It's not got as many sort of like display units as you'd imagine. Mm. So it's got some shelves in the middle and there's stuff just on the shelves. And it's a bit like if you've ever been down to someone's mum who was really into bottling fruit, and in the garage they'd built a sort of rack,
yeah,
where the fruit is all on.
Isn't this
a bit like that?
Isn't this isn't that the start of the film? What's it called? The Korean family that
Parasite.
Live in the big house. Parasite. Like plum juice. I was thinking they have plum juice. I have some plum juice. I'm like, oh, that looks nice. I'd like some plum juice.
Mm. Mm, that's got some lumps in. Mm. And they're not lumps of grape, are they? That's just lumps of gelatin.
There's lumps of, kind of
it's goldfish. It's worth saying as well, that shop, you wouldn't notice it from the front because you're just like, oh, it's a normal sort of little Chinese supermarket and everything. Big tank at the back, full of lobsters, live lobsters.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Mm.
Lovely
old little, job. A little thing going in. Is that legal? I don't know.
Yeah,
can it be legal?
Yeah, you can have live.
Very, very dirty shop. Very dirty.
The sea is dirty.
Oh, you've got to look after this lobster that you're about to kill. Crazy.
Fresh with quality. Fresh for you and me. Fresh. It's got to be our Northeastern Co-op food store. That's how we like it. Fresh. That's how we give it to you. Every day. Well, you'll appreciate the way we put our reputation on your table. That song went on for ages.
Put our reputation on your table.
I know.
Can we tell them about the biscuits or something? No, we will kill ourselves if you don't like our delicious food. Gary, what's going on?
Who wrote this jingle? Yeah, incredible.
Welcome to the greatest ultimate thrill ride of them all.
Grapest. We're having great flavour Chinese drink.
It's WrestleMania 33. Mm. We're having our grape drink in memory of Tian Bing, the first Chinese star to appear at a WrestleMania.
And last, it seems. they couldn't do any business out there.
Nope. The walls have come back down. So Tian Bing, very much a sacrificial lamb.
Indeed.
We are looking at the first WrestleMania, Pete, to not feature Kane since his debut.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's gone away. It's also the first WrestleMania not to feature Howard Finkel, who was the voice of WrestleMania. Absolutely no reason why they dropped him.
Right.
Worth saying. He was devastated by it. Absolutely devastated.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
He was, up until this point, he'd been on every single WrestleMania. He was the only person who had that distinction.
Isn't Kane Was Kane full time?
Kane, I think his boy. Yeah, I think he was. Right, he was certainly going on hiatus, and I think the politics was becoming a bigger part of his life. Mm. The little group of people commentating includes JBL. You've got Byron Saxton.
Yes.
You don't have Mauro Ranallo, who was the voice of NXT and SmackDown, and he was very popular at this point. You know, a really good, exciting play-by-play announcer. Mm. Used to shout "Mamma Mia," which people found irritating quite quickly. but he wasn't at WrestleMania because he was in part the victim of workplace bullying by JBL. He talked about it very openly. It really affected his mental health.
Such a fucking problem, JBL.
Yes, he really is. But JBL was awarded the prime commentary position as a result of that. If you don't punish people for the things they do wrong, how are they going to learn? It's not JBL's fault that he is on WrestleMania. It's his fault he's a bully.
Yeah.
But it's not his fault that the bully is on WrestleMania. Mm. That lies with everybody who allowed him to stay.
Rewarded him.
Yeah. Mm. Tinashe comes out.
Tinashe!
She sings the national anthem.
A lot of booze.
Yes.
Yes, we're in Florida. Yeah. And a black woman is singing.
She was the only wrestling connection I could find for her. Is between 2007 and 11. She was a member of the girl group The Stunners.
Oh,
but I don't think they were named after The Stunner. An arrogant title.
What do you mean?
Oh, Stunner. Here we are. Oh, what's our band called? Why, they're called The Stunners. Oh, they're called The Unbelievably Fit.
Yeah.
Hello.
I read her Wikipedia, and again, just a very basic pop star Wikipedia. I did say she came out as bisexual on Tumblr in the noughties. Didn't we all, Mark? Didn't we all? Some of that poetry I wrote tells a thousand tales.
I wasn't on Tumblr, but I did. I just used to shout it from the rooftop. I did, let me make it clear, grow up in a city. So I was fine. Tinashe does add a little bit in, and it's a sort of interesting cultural moment. So she does the America the Beautiful, from sea to shining sea, and then she makes the decision to go America. She adds the word America in there, not like I did it then, but she does add the word America in, and it becomes that thing about if you wanted a round of applause in a stadium, you couldn't end up with the word C.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to applaud the damn sea, but if you
that's quite simply not America.
Some of the sea touches places that ain't America. But she adds the word America on, and of course it's a big sort of, you know, yeah. Okay. They then go straight into a big thing where they're talking about its international appeal. And I do sort of find that, you know, there are bits of it which, like the jets coming over and everything, if you are a big fan of the WWE who is, you know, for example, in the Middle East, those bits you must sort of go, I don't know how they feel about me as a fan.
Yeah, is that a drone? What's that? What's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yep. This WrestleMania was filmed with, I believe, quite a small amount of cameras. I think it was like 22.
22
which seems small, but they also had a drone.
Yeah, right. So, okay.
I believe it's the first WrestleMania drone footage.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like it.
They push the whole idea that this WrestleMania is an experience. It's not really quite so much in the early bits about the wrestling per se.
Mm.
It's all about that this will be a thrill ride and an experience, and you're sharing it with people all over the world. It's very much their attempt to just go, the thing we're slightly embarrassed about is what we do.
Yeah.
We like the fact that we're on a lot of telly, and we like the fact that people buy tickets, but the core part of our business is one that brings us
shame. Yeah.
Shame.
There's the kind of WWE thrill ride kind of video that goes through, like you're going through different scenes from WrestleMania history. And there's a bit where Paulie Dangerously and Brock Lesnar are kind of... They almost look like they've been caught.
Oh, yeah.
Because he looks like a big bit of chewing gum. And he sort of looks around and like they've been fucking or something. Like they've been doing something. He's like, oh, sorry, hi.
If Lesnar does want to fuck you, I mean, he's going to fuck you. There is nothing you can do about that. It's I really like that opening. I thought it was really exciting. I think it starts with John Cena at the top. And of course, John Cena is there to essentially welcome you to a ride. He can't be part of the ride and go, this is exciting.
Yeah.
He has to stand at the top and sort of go, it's going to be one heck of a ride. And then he salutes you because he's in the military.
Because he's in the military, not really.
It's a phenomenal opening when you start getting the other wrestlers coming into it. And it's just everyone's jumping in the... It just works really, really beautifully. This did make me excited. No other sport does video packages as well as WWE. There's just, no. I mean, you know, again, the darts, the petonk, the bowls, the beer skittles.
Yeah.
But football, I mean, nobody does these sorts of adverts. Every time they have like a pay-per-view, they essentially produce something which, if you were Nike and their opening was for your new shoe, you would go, oh, that is a classic advert.
But I guess it's kind of wrestling kind of reinvents itself a little bit, or the styles that's popular every 7 or 8 years. It's not like football doesn't reinvent itself. You know, it's pretty much the same for 20 years, and then something will change. You know, it's
the thing about space. Like if you were a football fan and you've been in a coma for 42 years, you could watch a football match and you'd go, this is football.
Yeah.
If you watched wrestling, you'd go, I have been out for a long time and there have been numerous changes that I find absolutely mystifying. Out come the New Day. They're the hosts of this year's WrestleMania. Someone's been in Mummy's wardrobe and they have just dressed up with no rhyme or reason.
Well, it's all due to Final Fantasy, of course, isn't
Video
it?
Video game.
Big Final Fantasy 14, I think, was the sponsor, I want to say, because I think I did an IGN release of the next one, I think.
Yeah.
So the way that Michael Cole delivers, I think there's a Moogle out there, or a Chocobo.
Yeah.
That those tortured pronunciations,
yes,
unsure at first, going for it, reminds me of doing that same job when I'm not really sure what anything
Here
is.
Here come the New Day. Please say the following line. it really has that.
Yeah.
Doesn't
want to fuck it up. Doesn't want to fuck it up. He's doing his best.
There was a thing a few years back where when they were talked about, I think in the wake of the death of Eddie Guerrero, they had talked about how the industry had cleaned up. And a load of, I think one of the wrestlers came forward and said, nowadays, everyone after the matches just goes straight back to our rooms and we play video games. And people at the time were just going, this is complete bullshit. I mean, it is just not true. And it became a sort of a easy sort of way of mocking people about, you know, they just used to say they'd go back and watch video games. What could be less likely for WWE superstars to do than that?
Yeah.
And you can certainly see this year, this really is the year where you go, I think they do all now go back and just play video games. You've obviously got the New Day, who are huge gamers, you know, Xavier Woods in particular. But you've also got a little bit later, you get Becky Lynch, who is dressed up as Aloy.
Right.
Do you know who that's from?
No.
I've written it down like Michael Cole. We will get to it. I thought it was the worst thing she'd ever done. Totally chaotic. And then I saw later, oh no, she was something.
She was a thing,
some
right?
Some thought
yeah,
behind
okay.
it.
Well, obviously, when you're watching WWE on the network, or the network on WWE, you keep getting hit by adverts nowadays for the Superstar Gaming series, which obviously replaced all of their disparate personal Twitch things. And of course, Miz is front and center.
Oh, completely.
Miz is selling the whole thing.
Completely.
Miz is always in the middle of the most dull corporate kind of parts of the operation, bless him.
Playing the first video game he's played since 1987.
Yeah.
Oh, man. As much as I love the New Day, they come out and it's a long entrance. Mm. And there's a bit where the crowd begin chanting, New Day rocks, you know, and Xavier Woods gets the mic and he kind of goes like that, and they kind of go New Day, and he goes, oh, put the mic down. And I just thought to myself, this is not going to be a quick watch. This is not a quick watch. I started watching this. I watched this WrestleMania. I put it on at 10:30 in the morning.
Mm.
And yes, there were moments where I went, I'm going to pause this and I'm going to make a cup of tea.
Yeah.
But somehow it didn't stop until midnight. And the worst part of it, the entrances, there's such a long ramp in this one that every entrance takes between 5 and 8 minutes.
And a lot of people didn't get their entrance, like big entrance kind of like thing that happened.
They're
really,
just walking. Just, I can walk, right? I don't need to sit, I don't need to pay $9.99 a month to see a man walk. Just get him in the ring, get him to do his job. This is a bit like going, I need to bill for travel if I come to work, right? No, you don't. Your work starts when you're in the building.
Yeah.
Your work starts when you're in the ring. If you've not got a special entrance, please get there quicker.
Mm.
When you have that thing of going the New Day of hosting, I was just like, this is just adding more time onto something that already does not need time added. First match, AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon. AJ Styles was not originally going to be facing Shane McMahon.
Right.
He was. They'd hoped that Shawn Michaels would have a match with AJ Styles. They'd invited him to come out of retirement, but Michaels just declined the offer. And so he ended up being booked against Shane McMahon. You can tell from the little video that they put in this that this storyline did not have a great deal of build.
Cobbled together really quickly. I'm suddenly really angry about...
Yeah, you're holding me down. yes, I am. Do something to me. Oh, hit you. Can we go to WrestleMania? Yeah. It's got that feel to it. There is something funny about sticking AJ Styles, though, with Shane McMahon is a way of the WWE finally accepting him and trying to push him as a big, big main eventer. Mm. Only real stars get to fight McMahons at WrestleMania.
Right.
It's like they've had him on probation for a few years since his first debut. And over time, they've gone, it seems like he isn't like a spy from the independent scene. It seems like he is doing things the way we want him to. And he isn't causing sabotage or anything. So maybe we should accept him.
Yeah.
And they start to do that.
It's like a big quarantine session, isn't it? Where you import your dog.
Completely that. It is a funny thing as well, where you sort of go, we have finally decided to give you the big match that you've been hoping for against the part-time son of the owner. And there is a little bit of a, okay, you're going to have to work very hard to make this work to some degree. Shane McMahon, he talked about the match afterwards. He said, I was excited. AJ and I spoke about it, and it was a good showcase for AJ as he was ascending, and it was a really good spot. Funny thing about that, a lot of wrestlers prefer, if they don't have the main event, they want to be the opening match. Mm. The opening match, you can set the pace of the show. You can really stand out.
Yeah.
It's a good spot to be in. Not a lot of wrestlers want to be the second match. Mm. And you'll see in this one, there's an interesting story behind all that, but we'll get there. Shane said, I was just privileged to be in there with him and do that. And then what we were talking about is like, hey, let's do something that no one's going to suspect. He's one of the best in-ring performers. So I said, why don't we showcase that a little? He said, oh, that's great. And we started thinking about a couple of things we could do. Why don't we showcase a little the fact that you're one of the best in-ring performers? The very fact that there has to be something that you suggest.
Yeah.
That you're really, really good in
the
ring.
Shall we score some goals this afternoon, lads?
Yeah. Should we actually try and have a good match here? It does slightly tell you about the fact that you know, being brilliant at wrestling
is not,
not necessarily the thing you're going to get to do.
No.
And I think there's a funny thing there where Styles comes out and actually he's obviously gone, okay, I've now proved myself. Mm. And when he comes out, he's like the performer he was in New Japan, where he comes out and he's confident and brash and he's arrogant. And brilliantly, he looks at Shane McMahon like, who the fuck do you think you are being in the ring with AJ Styles? Anytime you get something that has a little ring of truth to it in wrestling, it is always super effective. And that really makes this good. He treats Shane differently to how other wrestlers treat him in the ring.
Mm.
Normally, when you go against Shane McMahon, you have that thing of just going, he is a real threat. He's got such sick MMA skills. His punching is lightning fast and deadly accurate. And people have that thing of going, he comes out once a year and kicks ass. And AJ Styles just has that thing of going, you are the graying son of the boss. The boss is getting old. You are getting old. And this is humiliating for us both. Shane is actually very, very good in this match. He does a... Quite early on, he does a sort of spinning back elbow into AJ in the corner. And that surprises everyone, not least AJ, who later gives him a receipt for it. He later does one on him. And I think it's a thing of sort of like, I did not like that. That is, the spinning back elbow, you cannot control where it's going to land.
Yeah.
It, in proper MMA, the spinning back elbow can be a devastating knockout because A, it looks spectacular, but B, you just do not see it coming.
No.
And there is a thing about, if you're doing professional wrestling, you don't really want to use moves that your opponent can't see coming. Yeah, because that's how things go wrong.
That's
go very wrong. Oh, what's going to happen? His dad's going to shout him. You know, that's the weird thing about it. I think when you go into a match with Shane McMahon, you do have that thing of going, he's never going to get fired for anything.
Mm.
And if it's bad, I am going to get the problem.
Yeah. You know? I'll be fired for it. But I've never seen Shane. I mean, I guess I've only probably seen him four or five times. I've never seen a match I haven't gone, oh, it was quite fun.
Always good. Always good. Always he quite does good. Work harder than, I mean, they always talk about like Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is would never ask somebody in his wrestling company to do something he wouldn't do himself.
Mm.
Obviously, there are limits to that. He is not going to throw himself off Hell in a Cell, but he pretty much has done.
Did he do that for Gronk? Gronk didn't want to jump off something quite recently.
WrestleMania 36, Gronk didn't want to jump off a platform onto a load of wrestlers underneath. So Vince McMahon, who I think he was 74, he showed him how it could be done. Just, he does it. I think Shane McMahon has that same thing of, I think Shane McMahon is at least aware that he is put in that position because of who he is rather than what his abilities are. But quite brilliantly, he's always tried to rise to the task. He isn't going to go in there and disrespect the business, the family business, and all the people who work for them by not being as good as he can be.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
In this match, I mean, it's got a sort of slow pace at the start, and then suddenly it just picks up. So early on, AJ Styles throws Shane McMahon into the announcer's table, and Shane McMahon just sort of goes, "Time to defy the laws of physics." As he's being thrown across the table, he's on his back, and halfway between in the throw, he suddenly just picks up speed. And he's just on his back. It's just like he goes into the table, boom, like that. I don't know how he does it. There's not much back and forth in the match. So you pretty much get Styles just beating Shane McMahon down. Yeah. Shane will absorb the punishment. Those matches where they aren't back and forth always feel long. And we see all of them in this WrestleMania have these long sections where people are just being beaten down to no heat. And then they'll eventually come back. What happens here, the announcers, you know, they really sell it, and they're all talking about the heart of Shane McMahon and things like that. And they're always going about how brave he is. And it sounds like two things. One is it's going, the seed of our chairman is strong, like the beloved chairman himself. And it's also the sort of thing I think that Vince McMahon probably thinks about Shane McMahon, which is they think he's got a lot of heart. He's got a lot of you know, courage and everything. But it also suggests he might lack a bit of brains, talent, and business ability. Such heart. He leads with his heart. He's got to stop, but he just will not quit. And there's all those things where you sort of go, I think this is Vince saying, do make it clear that he is a dunderhead. Shane does some MMA submissions throughout this. Mm. That was always his thing about, I'm legit, I'm not a pro wrestler.
Right.
He very much wanted Vince McMahon to buy a UFC. And at one point, it looked like that was going to happen. And they were very much, I think Bellator also came into the mix. But Vince McMahon just said, no, I don't want to get involved. Mm. And that was the moment, I think, where Shane McMahon left WWE, where he was like, I had that all ready.
It would have been
a great idea. And I'm suddenly remembering I am, you know, totally beholden to my father.
Mm.
Out he went, struck out on his own. Came back with no backstage role anymore. You dunderhead. They do a double clothesline spot that is as good as that spot has ever been done before. It always looks crap when they both clothesline each other at the same time and lie on the floor. And that one, they hit each other so hard that both of their bodies sort of pivot up. It's a really, really good little bit. The referee gets knocked down, and suddenly, as the referee goes down, the sun goes down. Mm. And the second the sun goes down, the match just clicks.
Mm.
And it is so fast from that point. It goes into a really good gear. They do a coast-to-coast dropkick where Shane McMahon's got a bin across him and AJ Styles comes out with a dropkick onto it.
Loves a bin. Loves a bin.
He loves that bin.
Loves the bins.
Shucks it at AJ and hits him, does his own one. They just start going and you get two counts here and the two of them work so, so well together. AJ Styles, one of the best wrestlers in the world, has been for probably the last 5 years, maybe even longer. He it just works really, really well with Shane McMahon. He does his springboard forearm and McMahon grabs the arm as AJ comes off the rope and he just turns it into a DDT. It looks both sloppy and, as a result, really realistic and devastating. Mm. It's a really, really sort of surprising move. Up goes Shane. He does a shooting star press, which he misses. Shooting star press is one of those rare moves where it looks better when it misses than when it hits. It's more spectacular. Yeah. If you hit it, you're like, it's a splash.
Yeah.
And you miss it, you're like, that was brilliant. I really, really enjoyed that move. The crowd begin chanting, this is awesome. And Styles then pins him with a phenomenal forearm. I mean, it's a really good match.
Mm.
Really enjoyable. Yeah.
Flies. Really great start. Mm. It was 20 minutes, I think. Didn't feel like it.
Did not feel like it at all. 4 stars it got from the Wrestling Observer newsletter, which was the highest rated match of the night.
Oh, there you go.
So you just have to realise that from now on in, it's all downhill. YouTuber Lily Singh, Pete.
Yes.
What's she?
She was on a lot of taxis and buses about 3 years ago in New York City, I noticed. Our agent over at William Morris, Takano's agent, the guy we talked to there, he's got a lanyard hanging up in his office with Lily Singh on it. I'm empty. I'm absolutely empty.
What does the lady do?
She's a YouTuber, but she's like, I think she's probably got a few TV shows as well off the back of YouTube.
1.8 billion views.
One of those kind
says
of
says Michael Cole with his Final Fantasy notes. Other things he doesn't understand.
One of those kind of like things that kind of like, one of those kind of acts where you sort of go, oh, they're spreading her very thin. They are just going, if we put her on a TV show, everyone is going to watch it because all of the, no, they won't. No, they won't. They never will. They never will.
It's a bit like WWE are setting up NXT India. That's the latest project.
Oh,
come before the one that they've done in the sort of, you know, the Japan and China.
Mm.
Tianbing failed. they're talking about NXT India. And part of the reason of that is they get a huge percentage of their YouTube views come from the Indian subcontinent.
Oh, is that right?
Huge amount, like, you know, billions. Mm. And so they've gone, oh, money in them thar hills.
Yeah.
No. Entirely different way of accessing content.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're not paying for it if you do that, is it?
No.
So, and yeah.
Match number two, Peter.
Match number two.
Kevin Owens versus the US champion Chris Jericho.
Mm.
They show the Festival of Friendship segment to set this up. And those segments, often these sorts of segments involve Jericho, where they would do a set piece and, you know, it would be an angle thing. They work very, very well when you see them clipped like this. And when you see them in the real week it goes out, they are fucking long.
What I mean, what is just Jericho just got to go and...
They'll give him 25 minutes to stand there and go, I'm going to have a festival of friendship. Bring in my friend Kevin Owens. And he comes and he goes, Kevin, you're a good friend. And it will go on for 25 minutes.
Really?
And
wow.
You will be going, please, will something happen? Please, please, please. When you see it chopped down into... 25 seconds, you go, that looked good. That was great.
It's like Piper's Barbershop, isn't it, really? It's
exactly
like kind
all
of,
those. Yeah. You know, Jericho has done a lot of these sorts of things. They used to do them with The Rock a lot as well. The Rock would do a concert, or The Rock and Mick Foley would have a birthday party. And they always look back on them and go, some of the greatest sections of all. Yes, they are, if you see the highlights.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit.
There's a lot of shit. Yeah. It's funny that this whole angle, Kevin Owens then turns on Jericho during the Festival of Friendship. It is funny that it's about two men, one of whom I think is in his 50s by this point. And it's about them like being upset that they aren't best friends. it's just weird. It's just weird. But Jericho does have a great gimmick at this point, which is you made the list. So he has the list where he writes people down.
You made the list.
Exactly that. Really nice. And there's a nice reveal that they show in this bit where, you know, Owens has got him a new list and he says, but why is my name written on it? And he turns it over and it says the list of Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens gives him a thing. Nice, simple stuff. That feels to me like quite an old-fashioned wrestling angle.
Yeah, that's like sort of mid-90s for me.
And it worked nicely. I thought it was rather sweet.
Well, I mean, then Jericho turns around and says, you just made the list. And then he writes the name Kevin Augers on there. He can't write.
Maybe that's another guy who wants to send a message to you through television. Two for the price of one. This angle became so hot that Vince McMahon actually told Jericho that it could be the main event of the upcoming WrestleMania 33. He said, I want you to beat Kevin Owens for the Universal title that he has in the main event of this WrestleMania.
And he was like, this is a turn up for the books.
Yeah, Jericho said at one point it was slotted to be the main event. In the eyes of Vince McMahon, a main event is a main event from a business perspective. I don't know what he's talking about there. he said, but to be on second with this angle that we had, where it was designated at first, I was told by Vince, you are going to win the world title from Kevin Owens in the main event of WrestleMania. 3 days later, he changed it to Brock versus Goldberg and didn't tell me. So it was a hot angle. They thought it was going to main event. It didn't. I love Kevin Owens. I think he's absolutely brilliant. The reason I love him is because he is Kevin Owens. He doesn't have that thing of feeling like he's been through a million hands and he's been polished and he's been changed. His character is he is Kevin Owens, who is a Canadian who is sort of got a bad streak, but is essentially, you know, sort of moral. I really just like him. Yeah. He's not a muscle man. He's a pro wrestler. And that's been missing for a long time. I think there's something about him as well when he's doing his drawing off. It always seems real.
Yeah.
He never seems like he's reading from a script. It seems like it's coming from him. He is a very bright guy. He's very, very good on the mic. And I think he's just a really, really strong talent. The other thing I'd forgotten about is how good Jericho looked at this point.
Yes, he in 3 years. Wow,
he's not on
WWE money anymore,
isn't it? Look, you know, time is a fucking bastard.
But
it's a shithead.
But
3 years ago, this is Pete. He looked amazing.
He's a noted Trump supporter.
Yeah,
I just think this is a wonderful little kind of like metaphor for America. Like at the end of Trump's thing, he is a fucking wreck.
He has
just kind of aged rock star
with
kind
bile
of
just, and fear.
Just, honestly,
yeah.
It's a QAnon. The Y2J now is a QAnon version of what he was here.
Yeah, well, you know, he's big thing this week, and by the time this goes out, last week, he has his podcast. He's been doing a big thing where he's inviting conspiracy theorists in.
That's right.
And he
yes.
keeps on doing this. And if you keep doing that, what you're not doing is we don't have fucking conspiracy theorists on here.
No.
It's all shit. It's all a load of crap.
We don't even have theorists.
Also, it means booking people and we're lazy. But, you know, he keeps on bringing these fucking people back. You know, it would just be like, if you said to someone, are you obsessed with human shit? And you were like, no, of course I'm not. And you go, it's just every 3 weeks you invite round a guy who shits everywhere.
Yeah.
And you roll in the shit.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, no, it's important to, you know, cover all of the angles, isn't it?
I know men of advancing years. They're in their sort of mid-40s and they they write a lot of, like, they're very chatty with women online. Publicly chatty.
Oh, yeah.
And they like a lot of pretty girls' posts, and they do this. And it's very public.
Yeah.
And I imagine their partner's got to go, are you still interested in me? Because you seem to just comment on a lot of people's posts. You know, it's just...
I like as well the whole fact of people going, but it's out in the open, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's out in the open.
I'm not hiding anything.
No,
so
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but... Yeah. That's also like men who wank at women in parks. They're not hiding, are they? They're also out. You know, you can't complain.
I think the one thing that you sort of do with this match, because as you said, it was going to be the main event. I can see why they made that big inflatable Y2J list.
Yes, that's huge when it comes out.
Where's that now?
Yeah,
where's that list?
That is again, you know, just. It's something that is so lost in the whole show. You just glance at it. Yeah. It's a great big sort of inflatable that is on the stage as Jericho comes in. But you see it for, I would say, 2 seconds. Mm. That is a waste of money. That is a waste
it's
of
Kevin
money.
Kevin Auger's written on the back.
It just doesn't click, this match. Mm. It's a strange one. It doesn't feel really like a WrestleMania match. Mm. It feels like a regular match that you'd see on SmackDown that was quite good. Mm. But it's almost like there's just something sort of missing. So Jericho talked about it. He said, I thought the match with Owens was good, but it seemed a little bit missing. The problem with us is we were on after Shane and AJ, which is funny because the year before was me and AJ, and we were on after the ladder match. We were second both years. I was like, fuck, I wish I was on first, because the AJ match was good. Once again, the people are so into it at first, so the second match is hard, no matter who you are. I thought the match was good. I was very surprised when I saw Kevin Owens after, and he's told me that Vince had told him it was one of the worst matches in WrestleMania history. On the Network Series 365, you get to actually see the moment where Kevin Owens comes back after this match. He looks frustrated as he comes out. Mm. And the match itself, it just didn't quite click. Yeah. They had such a hot angle that this should have been an absolute tore the place down. It didn't work like that. As he came through, he went to approach Vince, who is sitting at the gorilla position behind the curtain. And Kevin Owens asks, are we good? And McMahon just looks at him and says, no. And that's it. Kevin Owens looks so devastated and he just has to wander off.
I almost, as a needy fucker, I almost appreciate that. Are we good?
No doubt.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Because I would always have that doubt in my mind that he's just being nice. Or I know he's never going to be nice, but I'd just be like, oh, that's fucking... But if he says no, you know, there are a million reasons why a wrestling match is bad.
It's not a bad match. Mm. Jericho said he wanted Kevin Owens to be this type of heel. And Kevin was doing a lot of stuff off the top rope and flashy moves. Mm. And Vince did not want that. I think Vince had a hard-on for him at the time, and it would have been very hard. You see, Vince never said anything to me about the match, ever. Mm. Not once. Never said anything like that. Never said it was the worst match in WrestleMania history. Never said a word. We talked about it the next night. We didn't go into detail, but he just went, yeah. Overall, he said, it was very hard to put on a match that would live up to the hype of the match. But, you know, it's all about the story of getting there. The match was cool, but I'd rather have a great story and an okay match than an okay story and a great match. I'm not sure that's right. No, I think what that is a disappointment, and the other one you've overachieved.
Yeah.
So I think definitely overachieved. Mm. Vince told Kevin he had to lose weight, and he said, this is terrible and you don't know anything. Jericho said, I've been through that. Vince told me you're as green as grass. You're not worth the paper your contract is printed on back in 1999. So I told him, Kevin Owens, you are now going through the Vince boot camp. Stick with it because you'll be okay. Do I think we had a great match? No. Do I think it was one of the worst matches in WrestleMania history? Absolutely not. Kevin Owens later then talked about the match, and he said that he felt the match was a failure because it wasn't what Vince McMahon wanted it to be. He said it wasn't what the show needed, and he referred to that match as a career low. It's amazing. You can watch that match and you just go, it's really good. You know, yeah. It's perfectly
enjoyable.
Fine. There is something missing.
I like his T-shirt.
Yeah.
It's KO Mania 2. It's great. T-shirt. It's good.
Kevin Owens said, I think a lot of what we said needs to stay between Vince and I, actually. But it wasn't just that night. There was so much over the months that happened. after that that made me question myself as a performer and question my place in WWE, and then ultimately affected my life in every aspect because I am so passionate about this.
Oh, Kevin.
He said, the weirdest part of it was up until that point, everything was going great for my first 2 years there. I started in WWE. I was working with John Cena right away and we were killing it. And I kept going up and up. I went from that to the Intercontinental title, to working with Dean Ambrose, to our first WrestleMania, and me and Sami Zayn had our story going, and then the Universal title. So it was like everything seemed to be going up and up and up, just like anybody in this industry would want it to. And I would always come back to positive, literally always come back to positive feedback until that one night, and then everything switched. After that, it was like trying to catch up. At one point, I felt like, and I'm not saying that other people or Vince or anybody were making me feel this way, I just felt like I wasn't doing anything right because I was trying to find myself after WrestleMania, after that match. I tried to kind of change things about my personality or my character or whatever, and even the way I wrestled to be more in line with what the company needed me to be or what the show needed me to be. But it was hard because I wasn't finding it. And you know, if anything, I still feel like I'm struggling to find it. It's been hard for me to find that balance. It's been a struggle since that moment.
That's unnecessary.
It is that funny thing about you go out and you do a match and, you know, someone says to you, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. And you go, but I did it everything as I've done the last 2 years.
Yeah, and presumably this is just Vince. He was excited about the match. He was excited about the angle, so much so that they were going to do the event. And it just came to pass that,
He took it personally. He takes it personally because he goes, I thought that you were going to be great. And you've let me down. Part of that is if you're a bad guy, you're not supposed to be doing flashy moves because you're not supposed to be winning the crowd over.
Right.
And I think Vince has got that quite dated now idea where you just go, you were out there like an acrobat and there was no difference between you and Jericho. You know, you had to be the bad guy and you should have been savage and you shouldn't have been showing off. And presumably, you know, he just sort of went, that's it. I was backing you 100% and you have let me down. You
Wild.
Can see why people talk about WWE as being a bit like a cult. Where Vince McMahon is this father figure who everybody is desperately trying to please, but who don't really know how to please him. We've seen over the years, the more you try and please Vince, the less he will respect you.
Yeah.
And the less you please him, the more he will respect you. Unless you're Kevin Owens, in which case if you displease him, he is very, very unpleased with you. It's really strange. Kevin.
Well, especially because like there were short pictures of Kevin Owens when he was a kid with a Y2J t-shirt.
I'm led to believe that if Vince McMahon could have approached him when he was that age, Vince McMahon would have slapped him in the mouth solely because he knew what was about to happen. It's tragic.
Oh, it is tragic. Well, this has been the second in what will no doubt be quite a few episodes of WrestleMania 33. We'll be back next week with more of this, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, let's end it on a really happy note. Right. Let's think of, look, a cat and a balloon, eh?
Yeah, but the cat might get his fingers in the balloon. And
God, if the balloon goes down its throat. Sometimes when cats eat stuff like that, you have to pull it out of their bum in the
end. Yeah, and it comes out in a little bit of poo might go on your hand.
God, it would flick, definitely, because of the elasticity of the balloon. Fucking terrible.
It might go on your mouth, your eye. Oh. Little bugs would be...
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.